like to call the February 17th, 2022 special board meeting to order. Excuse me. And to remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. So the board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton, Commissioner Sanssouci.
I am here.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah.
Here.
And TBWD, Commissioner Duggan.
Here.
All right, this concludes roll call. All other attendance will be recorded using the Microsoft Teams participant list.
All right, thank you very much. Our next item is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Ms. Reams, do we have any persons who would like to comment?
None today.
All right, thank you. As a reminder, she is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. Next item, consent agenda. We have none scheduled for today. So we're on to our business agenda items. Item A, consider approving the change to the Sun Construction Incorporated contract number 2018-015, in the amount of $405,508,878 to incorporate the guaranteed maximum price number one for the construction of the WTP 1.0 project on the Willamette Water Supply Program. Mr. Britch will present the staff report.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Judah. Commissioners, next please. So start out with a little bit of background on the water treatment plant. So it's located within the City of Sherwood, Tonquin employment area. You see the dot there on the map. It's on the west side of our PLM 3, the 124th partner project that we did a few years ago, and just south of 12th and Sherwood Road. Initially, after construction, the water treatment plant will be able to provide up to 60 million gallons per day and full build-out capacity, 120 million gallons per day. And actually, it's hydraulically, it's sized for a relatively straightforward increase to 72 million gallons per day when needed. The water treatment plant includes construction of Ice Age Drive. So that's the road that's basically runs along the north boundary of our water treatment plant property, and half street improvements for Southwest 124th. So on the side, on the west side that we're adjacent to, those are all requirements from the land use process with City of Sherwood. Construction will be bid in two GMP packages. So the largest one, number one, we're talking about today, and then a smaller one later to come. And also just to remind the board or let you know that during the design, there was actually three pieces of treatment equipment that we did an early procurement on to allow the design to be really tailored to the specifics of those equipment, piece of equipment. So UV disinfection, ballasted flocculation, and then the dewatering screw press. Next, please. So I want to run through briefly just the scopes of the projects related to GMP1 and GMP2. So with GMP1, there were four best value packages. I'll talk more about those later in greater detail. That makes up roughly, I think, 60 to 70% of the direct cost. There's a small portion of assigned contracts that you see there. One of them, for example, SCADA integrator, that work was started during the design, and it's our typical practice then to transfer that over to the contractor during construction. And then the balance of the work, less than 40% of the overall value, is made up of a whole bunch of different low bid kind of packages of work. So that kind of is what makes up that GMP1. GMP2, that's going to come in the future. That's a much smaller work package. It's the kindest things that you do at the end of a construction project. And so those bids will happen in the future for roads and sidewalk, fencing, landscaping, and then the commissioning as we get closer to that part of the project. Next, please. So to give you a little bit of background on our CMGC process and procurement, so back in January of 2019, we entered into a contract with Sunt Construction to provide the CMG services related to this project. So that initial scope of work included support during the design phase for the water treatment plant and included preparation of the two GMPs, GMP number one and GMP number two, that'll come later, and that's expected a draft in June of 2023. If the board approves this today, then we will be issuing our limited notice to proceed to Sunt effective tomorrow, February 18th, and then the formal GMP to begin work, on-site work, is planned for April 8th of this year. Next. So talk a little bit about the bidding process and later slides, the outreach that was involved. So again, there were four best value packages. This makes up kind of the larger bulk of the work. And if you remember how we do that, it's a combination of scoring that reflects the price proposal at about 70%, 65%, I think, in this case, and then the balance being non-cost, so it relates to qualifications and experience and approach and safety of the contractors proposing on that work. And then the second bullet there, you see the list of that Sunt bid on self-performed work packages that they'll be completing. There's a portion of the concrete I'll talk about later that'll be a different subcontractor. Next. So, you know, like you heard us talk about on other projects, our team has really worked very hard to do an outreach to the contracting community. So there's no surprises. They knew the work was coming, trying to generate interest. And, you know, so related to that, on the figure you see on the right side of the screen represents all the different activities that took place and the dates and the number of attendees. And again, this outreach program began early last summer and continued through, you know, the fall into the formal bidding period. And so lots of different meetings, activities, pre-bid meetings prior to advertisement, lots of in-person meetings with potential subs, pre-bid meeting after advertisement, focus meetings on various subs and packages. Sunt went out and participated in some local organizational meetings to try and drum up some support and awareness. And then finally, a lot of information was available at our program website, our Reliable Water website. Next. So the bidding process, to dial in a little bit more. So part of that with our WIFIA loans requires a minimum wage rates that are either this the greater of either the federal Davis-Bacon wage rates or the local Oregon Boley rate wage rates. So those were clearly communicated in the RFP requirements and what's found in GMP1. There's a number of bidder questions, as you'd expect, during the bidding process, and so those were jointly addressed. All the technical questions went to our designer, and Sunt responded to scoping and contractual questions. The WWSP received bids and scored the non-cost portions for all the self-performed work, and so we had a team that was developed and assigned to do those reviews of the proposals and develop the scoring that's associated with that. And you know, this is really these last two bullets kind of go hand in hand. It's really an open book approach, and you know, in support of that, a number of us went down. You see the pictures to the right there. And spent a week, the week after Thanksgiving, in a conference room that Sunt had with no windows, couldn't see out, 10 hours a day probably, and looking at all these large monitors and screens, and literally going line by line, item by item, through all the bids and understanding and discussing the results and how we approach different issues. So a very in-depth collaborative process to go through the numbers and make sure we're all on the same page with that. Next. So this slide really talks about bidder participation. And so the blue bars represent for the different work packages you see across the bottom of the chart there, the graph there, the potential bidders that were identified prior to bidding. And then the red bars next to it represent the actual number of bids received for that given work package. And so there's originally 320 potential bidders that are identified. However, only about 40% of those actually bid on the work, so 120 responses. There's a couple categories, pretty small portion of the overall work, where there's, you know, really a few, very few number of responses. And, you know, it's, so again, I think Sunt and our team did a really good outreach. And actually, as we were talking about things down in Arizona after Thanksgiving, you know, Sunt was surprised that we didn't get a few more. Actually, in some cases, they're getting the word the week before the bid that, hey, all these subcontractors were planning to bid it, but when it came to actual bid day, for whatever reason, a number of them chose not to bid. So next. And this slide really talks about how basically most of the work was competitively bid in one fashion or another. And so up top on the table you see there's the direct cost. So there's either kind of the cost of work associated with the work categories, those that are the low bid that were obviously competitively bid by nature. And then the proposed self-performed work, those that are associated with the best value. So again, 65% of the scoring is based on a competitive bid, and the other 35% on quals. And then you get into the indirect costs. I'm going to skip one of those for right now, but most of those, when we went through the actual CMGC selection, scoring was part, costs were part of, was part of the scoring. And so the bonds, the insurance, the self-perform, and CMGC fees were all identified through that competitive procurement process that led us to selecting the CMGC. And really, it was only one item there in the middle, the CMGC general conditions and general requirements, which really became a negotiated activity. But a lot of the costs that went into that were also, though, supported by vendor quotes. So in total, you know, about 95% of all the work that's represented in this GMP is really reflected some sort of competitive or market, you know, pricing activity. And the costs that we, you know, that we ended up with are really what the market says that is the value of this work, you know, in today's market. Next, please. So this relates to now the seven largest, largest portions of the work, and it just identifies the number of bids that were received for each one of those. The first four there I'm going to talk about a little bit more, but in total, you know, pretty good participation, and again, these top seven represent about 75% of all the direct costs associated with the project. Next. So now we're going to get into kind of the four best value work package. I'm going to explain the scope and then show you the bid results and the ultimate scoring. So the first one is the concrete. So this is a really large portion of the work. We broke it up into three different elements that contractors could bid upon. And there's a fourth there I'll talk about in a minute. So one of those, the yellow is the largest. That's that main process concrete. That's where most of the equipment in the treatment plant is housed. The green one there represents the finished water pump station and the equalization basins. And then the third part of the concrete work package is the shown in purple there, the thickeners and the solids handling concrete. And you see that the fourth color there, the purple, the circle, that's our Clearwell. That was a separate bid package from this concrete best value work. And so we received three bids. Contractors could elect to bid on any one of the three parts of it. In the case of Kiewit and Sunt, they provided bids for all three. James W. Fowler elected only to bid on the smallest one, the purple one there, the solids handling. And I'll talk about this again on the next slide, but we found that actually in the bidding process, there's an important requirements that Kiewit didn't meet with the RFP requirements, and they were deemed non-responsive because of that. Next slide. So this shows the different alternatives that we considered, the costs, and then the total score. And so because you had the three different concrete structures or elements that could be bid on, there was different costs depending on the combinations. And what we also included in the bid form was the ability for a contractor to provide a deduct if they got more than one of those large pieces of concrete work. What these five alternatives represent are different combinations of bidders based on lowest price when you consider deducts. And so, but if you look at the scoring there, so again, remember price is only a large portion, but just a portion of the total score. The number two option there actually had the highest total score, just above number one there. But again, because Kiewit basically wouldn't comply with some really important parts associated with doing this work, they were deemed non-responsive. And then by default, the next highest score, which also happens to be the lowest cost alternative, is that number one there. And so Sunt will be performing the two large construction, the two large structures, and Fowler will be constructing the smaller solids handling facility. Next slide. The next best value work package is the earthwork and utilities. And so this is basically everything it takes to get out of the ground. And so the figure you see on the right there represents the site and in terms of cut and fill. So it's primarily a rock site. And so there's areas where rock and other materials need to be removed, shown in red. And there's places where fill needs to be brought in, shown in green there, and a lot of that fill is kind of along that top boundary, and that's where the new road is we're building for Sherwood, as part of that. And so this package included, again, what it takes to get rid of the rock, so a lot of drilling and blasting, excavation, backfill, grading, temporary roads and parking, and underground piping. And some of the underground piping is extremely significant and complicated. So it's a lot of that is welded steel pipe that needs to be installed very precisely. It's the pipe that goes under the structures, that'll end up going through the floors that everything else connects to. And so it was really important that we had a very qualified contractor doing all of this work, but that's also one very important element of it. So we had two responsive bidders. You see them there, K&E and Sun. Next slide, please. And actually, this is kind of remarkable. So you see the actual raw bid there. For a $57 million bid, the two bids were within $20,000 of each other. So just pretty remarkable results there. But then, that's not the final price that's associated with work. There's markups that need to be added. Sometimes there's leveling, there's scope gaps that need to be filled in to kind of level out, make sure the full scope has been developed and identified in the GMP. And so that's the numbers you see reflected in the middle column. So you'll see that even though the Sunt cost after markups and leveling is a little bit higher, the total score in this best value approach was substantially higher than the other bidder. So Sun, chose a good partner, with the earthwork and Goodfellow Brothers. So they're very familiar with this, the site in this area. They did the site work for PGE and their new substation and emergency operating center right across the street from us. So on the east side of 124th. So they're very familiar with the ground conditions. One of the concerns, and a really big concern, quite honestly, for K&E was just that they didn't really demonstrate any experience with the large diameter welded steel pipeline. That's a very important part of this work. And so that's why you see the score significantly lower for them in this case. Next. Next, work package process integration. So this is all the equipment and piping associated with it in the structures and the above grade piping that's not included in the site utilities work. And so in this case, three responsive bidders here. Next. And so, again, you see the scores, the bids. So Sun was the lowest. They're also actually the lowest after the bid leveling. And they, we also deem them to be significantly more qualified in their proposal and their team and their approach than the others. And so actually, because they got the lowest price and the highest points associated with the non-cost score, they got the full 1,000 points in this case. Next. And finally, the electrical work package. So as you'd expect, it's all the electrical stuff. It's instrumentation and security. And actually, in this case, really great response. Everybody we talked to who kind of saw this result, you had five bidders, was just shocked because it's almost unheard of to get this good of competition in this large electrical work. And so we were very fortunate that we had five qualified, interested electrical subcontractors for this work. Next. And so again, you'll see the bid value, the middle one there, EC Electric, was the lowest. They're also the lowest after the bid leveling. We found that some of the other contractors missed some stuff that really needed to be accounted for in their bid, and so their price after leveling went up, and also based on really good non-cost scoring, EC Electric ended up being deemed as the highest scoring subcontractor. Next. And so if you kind of take all the costs now and you summarize them, you see what's before you here. So from all the work packages, the direct costs, that's that $317 million. The general conditions, bonds, insurance, taxes there. There's also CMGC fees that were identified in the competitive process when we hired our contractor. So those are identified and they vary depending on whether it's self-performed work or non-self-performed work. Within the contract, we identified a CMGC contingency amount. When we went through the process of evaluating all the bids down in Arizona, we recognized that actually, rather than a contingency, for a number of items, and allowances would be a much better way to manage those costs. And so we developed this category of allowances for the project, and then the owner's contingency, you see there is 5%. You know, one of the challenges in this market is escalation, and for, you know, a bidder who's doing a work, you know, more than a year from now, you know, what are the costs associated with that? And so we developed an approach that allowed contractors, if they elected to, they could participate in this program where they could sort of tag their bid to an industry index, and when they come to kind of actually procure the work, we can true up whether it's escalation or de-escalation. And so it's about a 50-50 participation roughly in that. And then this next one, I'll let Dave add anything he wants to that, but this negotiated package reduction. So in the last few weeks, you know, Dave has really been heavily involved in, you know, working through the last few details, and this was part of it. But if you add all those things up, that represents that $405.5 million. Dave, did you want to speak to that last item there?
Yeah, just real quick. Sorry, I'm getting an echo here. It's distracting me. So as Mike explained, the vast majority of all the costs that we're looking at here are either competitively bid numbers. So these are real market prices for this kind of work in this market, in this location at this time, or they're part of the contract that we negotiated some time ago. Landing this overall GMP required some negotiation that frankly spanned months, which isn't too surprising given the size and complexity of this work. and really the overall risks associated with this. As we move forward with executing this contract, the risk goes to Sunt. And so there's some real competing sort of objectives that us as the owners, what we're trying to achieve out of this is a quality project completed on time, safely, and if at all possible, below this new budget. Sunt, I'm convinced at this point, wants all of those things as well. And as a request from us, and they are following through, is they're offering this package reduction, this $3 million back. And that was part of the overall negotiations in terms of getting that and resolving a lot of the other negotiating points. One other thing that we negotiated into the contract is a savings sharing amendment to the contract, which going forward, our teams will collectively work to identify further savings as the project is constructed. And it's a real good thing, I believe, in inspiring the team to work collaboratively to find additional savings as the work is completed and share in those savings. So both sides are inspired to do that, are incentivized to do that. The negotiated split in those savings is 60% to the owner, 40% to Sunt. So I think at the end we ended up in a very very fair spot with both sides giving in to get this across the finish line, and I look forward to moving forward with the project. So that's it, Mike, but back to you.
Okay, next slide, please. So this is just a comparison to a couple baselines here, the current value, the 405 million GMP1, so significantly greater than the 262 identified in baseline 7.1. With that 405, there's an additional contingency held outside the contract, and then that results in a total of 418 million, which is less than the value that's actually in the official release of baseline 7.0. Next. So really quickly, just to identify, you know, our team really has been focusing on cost management throughout the project and the GMP. Again, starting with the procurement process, it was a competitive process where fees were and rates were identified as part of that. During the design phase, really a good engagement from our contractor and value engineering with our design team identified early equipment procurement on a couple of those items to really tailor the design and be more cost effective in that. We identified the appropriate contingencies for both the owner and the CMGC contractor in that, as well as tried to address and minimize risk through the process. And then finally, through the CMGC development, tried to really refine the right level of CMGC staffing for the project. I talked about the early bidder outreach, open book competition, where we really went through the numbers as a team. The program received the sealed bids where on items that Sunt was planning to self-perform. There's a couple items where we didn't even get quotes, and so there was some work that they did to actually go out and get some supplemental quotes. Comprehensive review by our team of a document that was around 10,000 pages. So a lot of hard work by our team in doing this comprehensive review, as well as the trip down to Arizona. And, you know, we keep looking forward to potential other cost-saving ideas and then tried to manage the cost and the risk around escalation and allowing contractors to either opt in or not related to that. Next slide. I think there's just several clicks. Might as well just do them all here. So really, why, you know, what's different? So no surprise in kind of what we've told you on other projects. It's project specific conditions and it's market conditions in general. And so, you know, related to project specific conditions, you know, when we're in Arizona going through all those different items and bids, I was asking, you know, son, you know, what's the current bid? What was your previous bid? And these were bids, you know, maybe 6 to 9 months ago. And just to give you an example, so, you know, taking notes all the way through, and here's just a few examples, but significant increases in quotes that they received just, you know, again, 6 to 9 months ago. The filter media, so it's all the media that the granular activated carbon, you know, that was a 38% increase from the previous quote, $700,000. Carbon dioxide storage and feed system, a 70% increase, $700,000. Filter under drain, a 50% increase. And so we did see some deducts too. But in general, you know, in the course of the last 6 to 9 to 12 months, the market and project specific elements were seeing significant increases from the previous numbers that we were provided by those very vendors. And then I think as Dave and others have talked about previously, just the market in general, there's a labor shortage, transportation costs have gone up. We're all familiar with the supply chain disruption, and the market's busy. There's a lot of work going on right now, and so there's a lot of competition. We think there's some compounding escalation as the product starts as a raw material, gets manufactured from one, handed from one sub to another. There's a lot of markups and uncertainty along the way. Some of the bidders chose to exclude escalation, so that had to be accommodated in the GMP. And then there's, you know, a limited number of bidders on some very small elements of work. And then finally, relative to baseline 6.1, there's just a few things that are new scope items. And so this item related to the Southwest 124th Avenue Half Street improvements, that was something, an item where we'd been received direction or from Washington County that said, hey, we don't have to do that. But only as part of this Sherwood land use process that became a requirement that wasn't previously anticipated. And then similarly, as we're working through the details with PGE to provide power to the site, we're finding there's some more obligations that they'll have for us that weren't previously identified. Next slide. I think that's it, actually. So with that, I'd be happy to address any comments or questions that you might have.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Are there any questions for Mr. Bridge?
This is Commissioner Duggan. I just have one comment. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to thank staff for their very exhaustive and thorough examination. I really appreciate the amount of effort and care that was taken in putting together the staff recommendation and getting it to a point where we can consider it today. So thank you, Dave, Mike, and the rest of the staff involved in getting us to this point.
I'd like to comment on that. So it's, most of the work was not done by me or Dave, although Dave's been involved a lot here lately. But, you know, our staff, I agree, our staff has put in a lot of work, and not to name names, but I think we aged one of our staff members about 10 years in the last 6 months. So.
Any other questions for Mr. Bridge? Dave, I understand we might have some guests with us today, and if possible, as the board chair, I'd like to give them an opportunity to just speak to us for a minute and reaffirm that they're committed as a company to deliver this high-quality project on time and within the prices and stuff we've been talking about, if not lower.
Thanks, Chair Judah. I will invite David Fagerstrom, the lead from Sunt on the project, to answer your question. So, David.
Yeah. Can everyone hear me? Okay.
Yep. Go for it.
Okay. Commissioners, thank you for your time today. I'm happy to discuss the project and our commitment to the project. You know, as Mr. Bridge pointed out, you know, we started on this project in the beginning of 2019, so it's been a long process to get to this point. And all of our teams have endured a lot of new challenges with COVID and everything along the way. And, you know, none of us have looked at this as, you know, a complete roadblock. We all came together and said, okay, this new challenge came up, how are we going to get past it? And that's what I'm most proud of with where we're at today is the teamwork that we've had, you know, not just the Willamette team, but also our design engineer, CDM Smith. And, you know, this is a significant project for Sunt. We want this to be a huge resume builder for us, and how we get to that point is by successfully delivering this project to you on time and under budget, you know, a quality project that will last a long time. Myself and a couple of our other leaders within our company came up and met with Mr. Kraska's team last week, and we talked about our company purpose. You know, most companies have a mission statement or a purpose statement. And Sunt's is, our purpose is to build environments where our clients, employee owners, and communities prosper. And part of that meeting we had, Mr. Kraska walked my leadership through the whole program, and he described this project, the water treatment plant, as the water treatment plant, as the crown jewel of the whole program. And that really rang home with us. And so that just reaffirmed our commitment to this project. And so we're excited to get started with it. You know, we're a national company, so we're having to bring in some staff from, you know, around the country. And I actually have members of my team today getting ready to jump on this project as soon as it is approved. So we're excited about it. And I just want to reaffirm, you know, Sun's commitment to giving you a quality project built on time and under budget. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. We obviously have a lot of faith in you guys to be able to do this right. And of course, our board expects, like you said, that the project will be run well and have the least amount of change orders and contract issues as possible. But we're all a team here, so let's just keep that up to this tough part of the expensive and tough part of this whole process that we're involved in at the WWSS. Do we have any other questions for either Mr. Britch or for David?
Mr. Chair, not a question, just a comment from Commissioner Sanssouci. I just want to say that, like the others, I have been impressed with the attention to detail, the quality of careful analysis, the sophistication of the development of this, of the bidding package, the detail attended to in the negotiations. These kinds of long-term generational projects are everybody kind of takes them for granted later on when they're finished. This process of getting it through this stage to the next stage to the next stage to actually delivering water is one that an awful lot of people don't get a chance to see exposed in such great detail. It's been one of my privileges to be able to be part of this and to see this aspect of it playing out. I'm looking forward to driving or riding a bicycle past the treatment plant someday when it's actually finished. But I will do so knowing that a significant part of it was a whole lot of people paying a whole lot of attention to a whole lot of spreadsheets. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I'll ask you again, are there any other additional questions or comments at this time? All right, hearing none, do I have a motion and a second to approve a change to Sunt Construction Incorporated contract 20-18-015 in the amount of $405,508,878 to incorporate a guaranteed maximum price, number one, for the construction of the Water Treatment Plant 1.0 project of the Willamette Water System Program. Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this action.
This is Commissioner Duggan, so moved.
Commissioner Sanssouci, seconds.
All right, we have a motion to second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. The motion passes. Our information items is next, as we're done with the key points of today's meeting. The next regular board meeting is scheduled on March 3rd, 2022 via Microsoft Teams. I have no communication or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Dave Kraska, if you're still here, do you have anything else you need to bring up before we adjourn?
No, that's it for today. Thank you so much for making your time available for this special board meeting. It's very meaningful to us to keep this on track and on schedule, so and appreciate your continued support. So buckle up. It's going to get exciting going forward now.
All right, thank you. There being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned.